You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is February 1st, 2021. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone, on this Groundhog's Day Eve. That's right, Groundhog's Day is the 2nd of February, and if he sees his shadow, it's six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, spring will come early. So, I know every year I say this on Groundhog's Day show, or the show before, and if anybody's ever actually been to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, or if you're from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and you've seen the actual event of Groundhog's Day, let me know, because it's something that is on my bucket list. I definitely would like to go and see this. I don't know why. A lot of people think I'm crazy. Some people say it's not really that big of a deal, but I did watch the movie Groundhog's Day, and for some reason, ever since I've seen that movie, I've wanted to go there. So, if you've been there, let me know. Send me an email, because I'd love to see some pictures or hear if it's actually worth, you know, making the trip, you know, after COVID and all. But beside the point of that, today on the show, guys, we got a few vendors I wanted to mention. I got a new double-edged razor that came out that's been out. Actually, the company was actually formed due to COVID, and the actual artisan himself kind of losing work or losing their job there and then starting up their own company. He started up his own company. So I do want to feature that closer to the end of the show. Also today on the show, we've got to feature one of the oldest artisans out there. And when I mean oldest artisan, I'm talking 2010, 2011, of when the artisan soap moves and aftershave started to become popular. I have the first one that I've started with. I never really featured him very much or featured this product, but I do want to feature it and talk a little bit about it because it was one of my first artisan product myself and a lot of you out there that have been around for a little while. We're going to do part two of single edge razors. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about single edge razors, just to give them their time in the day there for them, because it's been, kind of been neglected, I think, over the last couple of years, especially by myself. But I've been getting more into them and wanted to talk more about them. I think they're great razors. And actually, I'm getting the bug again to start, you know, really looking at collecting more items and just getting more involved in other aspects of shaving again. So this is going to bring a newfound interest to me and a little bit of revival. All right. And then we'll also talk a little bit about another podcast that's come out. I've noticed there have been more shaving podcasts out there, and I've been listening to them. And just wanted to just share a few of my thoughts of what I've been hearing on there. And really, it's just very exciting about what they're doing and just to see that there are more people out there wanting to have some fun with wet shaving. So without further ado, if you haven't been listening, if you do listen to podcasts or you do enjoy podcasts besides this one, for a while there, it was just a couple of shaving podcasts. You know, you had Douglas Smythe did a few of them, and then he stopped to do videos and to really focus in on his business. And then you had, you know, a couple of other guys out there. You had the Brush Soap and Blade podcast with Rick over there, and he was probably the longest running. He did a show every week, I believe, for over an hour. It was more like a shaving blog site and really an insight in that guy and his life. And it was an awesome podcast. I actually listened to that every week, and it was really cool to see somebody else doing the same stuff that we do. And then, you know, we came out here with the Wet Shaving News podcast, which turned into the Wet Shaving Talk podcast back in 2015. And now there's a couple other ones popping up. You got the Worst Shaving podcast out there. You have the Lather podcast that came out. I believe it's Lather and with a couple other gentlemen on there, some guys out there just talking about wet shaving. And I was listening to it the other day and really interested in what they were saying. They actually interviewed Shane from Blackland Razors and was listening to how they're getting into, you know, newer razors and stuff. And a few things I noticed is when Shane was speaking of the razors, of Blackland Razors, and how his business model and everything, and how he's gone from really just being a small artisan just with an idea to now a mainstream person in the industry, and looking at how we've evolved, and how back when he came out with his razor, there was only a handful of new razors being produced in 2015, and now there's probably several dozen. you know, just really shows you how much the wet shaving community has evolved and how large it's gotten, and how much, you know, where is the ceiling? So they were talking about, you know, do you think that's hit the ceiling or not? Or if it's plateaued. And you know, I think that, to be completely honest, I have to disagree with what I heard on the podcast. And the reason being is I think the high-end stuff has plateaued. I think that you've seen the high-end razors have become more and more available. And the problem is there's more and more competitors out there. You know, 5 years ago, you had Wolfman razors. You had a few other ones out there, right? Yeah. Now you still have your Core above the tie. You still have, you know, Timeless razors. You still have Blackland razors. You still have all these other companies that have their core line. But the high-end razors are really starting to become more and more, I guess there's more and more people trying to put their hands in the pot, and I think the pot's full, or I think the pot's empty. Regardless of whichever way you look at it, I don't think there's any more room to actually expand in that area without having a new idea, a new concept. So double-edged razors are great. You know, everybody's starting to copy that idea of the 1940s Gillette Tech. Great. I mean, honestly, it's a great design, right? But it's getting to the point now where I think it's really just getting, okay, how many more people are going to copy this design? You know, or how many, you know, you have to come up with something new, right? And what they said was that they felt that that $100 range to $150 range, you know, still had some growth and still, you know, there's still room for more people. And I'm going to have to say that I think it's getting to the point where I think there's too many people with the same idea. So yes, I think there's room to grow, but I think we need to start seeing some different concepts and different ideas, because right now we have, last my count, we had over 24 razor producers, when 5 years ago we only had about 4. And now it's getting to the point where, okay, somebody else just came out with a $200 razor, and that's great, but how are you going to be different than the other guy? Are you competing with just this one group of people that can purchase them? Or are you looking at, you know, the long-term effects of this business? And I think really who's got it really nailed on the head is Razor Rock. Razor Rock with those $50 to $75 razors they have, right? Stainless steel, good quality, 316 steel. They're using L steel. And they're doing a great job making razors that are, you know, kind of like they're taking other people's ideas, but they're making it at a price point everybody can afford. But in my opinion, I think that we have to really look at something new and something different to come out and really show something exciting to the wet shaving world. Because honestly, it's just getting to the point where, okay, if I see another person try to copy a Wolfman razor, or another person trying to copy, you know, 1940s Gillette Tech, I think we're at the point where, okay, what are you going to do that's different? What are you going to do to get me to buy a razor? I think that's where it really boils down to. Is for me, it's like, okay, I've owned a lot of stuff. And a lot of you guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you're into wet shaving too. And there's a good chance you've owned a lot of stuff. And if you haven't, you might have tried a lot of items. And for me, you know, I buy razors and I sell them. Kind of like, it's almost like the stock market. You know, you buy it in, seeing that the stock market's going crazy this week. You buy something in and then you hold on to it. You see if it's going to be worth anything. If you're a collector, or if you're looking to make a profit on it, or if not, you're just not looking to lose money on it, and then you let it go and get something else. So you take that funds, say $300 or $400, and you kind of use that $300 or $400 over 3 or 4 times, right? So you can try different things. It's at the point now where I'm looking at some of these new razors, and I'm just like, what are you guys going to do now to get me to buy this? Because I have I've tried Wolfman, I've tried Blackland, I've tried Tradare, I've tried Carbon. You know, Carbon Shave. I've tried Mongoose. You know, I've had, you know, all these other razors that I've tried, and it's like, okay, I'm looking for something kind of different. You know, yeah, it's aggressive, great. Yeah, one thing I got to say is about some of the other brands is like, it's just and I hate to say it, I hate to stutter on this almost because I'm kind of like trying to get it out for words. It's just I don't see anything too interesting coming out. So that somebody else hasn't already done. You know, for example, the Rex Ambassador, they're talking about that on the podcast. And Matt from Razor Emporium came out with this design. You know, he took the Gibbs adjustable design and put it on steroids and modernized it and made it all 100% stainless steel and less moving parts, and it did a really good job producing that. But after he did that, you had like four or five people come out and try to make them as well. And they made cheaper models and stuff. It's like, okay, well, I see you guys see an opportunity in the market. And you want to say, okay, I can make something similar for less and I can sell them. Okay, that's great. But how many more people want to do that? Because if you have one or two of them, how many more are you going to get? Unless you're a true collector and you want to just try them all. And after a while, like once you have 500 razors, I mean, it's getting to the point where, okay, another brand new one came out. It's shiny. It's nice. They're using great steel. But what are they going to do that's different, you know? So that's my challenge out there and that's my thoughts actually for that podcast and what they were talking about in the industry itself. I just think that the industry is just getting to the point where it's really getting saturated with the high-end stuff and the low-end stuff. You still have your core icons, Mercore, and all those items that are selling every day. And I think that's where the market's going to end up being, needs to have a little more competitors. Because right now you have Gillette making a razor at $35 or whatever, the Heritage, and then they make another one you can buy at Walgreens and all that. That's where you really want to start, I think, investing and get something special in that price point from the $20 to $50 range, because that's the area I think that the market has more room for, right? And that's what would get somebody to buy it, like a new person to start shopping. Hey, I want to buy something, but I don't want to pay more than $35 for it. You know, so Razor Rock actually has that idea. They got about 50 to 70, you know, quality razors. So whatever they're doing it right, I think, for the future, right? So it's just my thoughts on that podcast. If you guys listen to it, I think it's the Lather Hog podcast. I guess if you just search it on iTunes, you'll find it. You know, just the way you find this one as well. All right, so moving along. And sorry to get all long and drawn response, but you know it is fun to listen to other people's points of view and in the industry itself. But Mike's Natural Soap, guys. Okay, I use this stuff. This is the first artisan soap that I've purchased, and I've mentioned this in the past. And I was just searching around the other day looking for some stuff, and I looked up. I said, you know what? Let me see what Mike is doing. Right, Mike's Natural Soap. And he's still doing the same thing, and he still seems to be, you know, processing orders a few weeks or a few days behind. You know, he's always had a big demand and always had a certain production schedule. You know, he's in Ann Arbor, Michigan now, but he started, when I started buying soaps from him, he was in Brooklyn. I think he was going to school for a PhD or something like that around then, and finished school. And I think he moved obviously to Michigan and doing this as a full-time job. But since 2010, I believe I've been seeing Mike and Mike's website and everything like that. And I remember when it was really hard to buy the soap from him, when it was always out of stock and you had to wait and put the order in. You had to wait, you know, a few weeks to get it, or it would be out of stock. You'd have to wait. But really, I still use the barbershop Mike's quite often, actually. And it's really a great soap if you haven't tried it. And, you know, just a Google search and you'll see all the reviews. But Mike's Natural Soap, I got to give you a salute because you've been around the longest out of anybody that I've been dealing with. You, Captain's Choice, all those couple of these items have been around a long time and still popular in the wet shaving world. So I remember when he was doing shaving soap, like cubes and bars, and then he went to pucks, and now he's got containers and stuff. It's just great. You know, the actual label stays the same. And that's just what I really enjoy about an artisan, is knowing that you can go back to his website and he'll be there. And you can purchase what you'd like, and you're going to get the same consistent quality and that same familiar scent. And that's really where it comes down to me, is the scent and the performance. When I smell a soap that I haven't used in a long time, that I remember when I first started wet shaving, it's incredible. It just brings me back in time. It remembers like how it gives me like a revival of the hobby itself. And I start getting into it again, and then I'll start Googling and stuff. So I get that way. I think we all do if we've been doing this for a long time. And boy, Mike's Natural Soap does it. So Mike's Natural Soap, we salute you for everything you've done for 10 years plus in the wet shaving community. All right, guys, single edge razors part two. Now, we briefly discussed on the single edge razors the Valet auto strop style, right? So I just wanted to get a little bit more in detail with auto strop razors. There are actually 10 models of the auto strop that came out from the 1920s until the 1950s or 60s, I think it was out until. I know in the 1940s, a Valet was purchased by Gillette. So obviously that told you something, right? Valet Auto Strop, if you're unfamiliar with this razor, I'm going to give you a secret, and don't tell anybody. You can get these things online for like $5, maybe $10 at most. If you want a case or something like that, you might pay more. I actually was lucky enough. I have two Auto Strop razors. I have the VC1, which is one of the first ones, and then I have a VC5, I think, a newer one, which is new old stock in the box with the price tags on, and I paid $10 for it on eBay, right? I didn't use the VC5 yet. It's beautiful. It's gold plated, has the original blades with it, has a price tag and the original strop all packaged up, and I put it in my safe box. I've never used it, but I do use the VC1, and I could tell you guys one thing. These razors shave great, all right? They're a little heavier because they have the auto strop mechanism inside. Now, if you look at them, they have like two little gears on there, and the way to open the blades, you have to kind of click it out, put the blade in, close it, and then it locks it in place. And if you want to strop the blade, you put the strop in the middle, right? You feed it through, and then you kind of you would click that off so it could flop back and forth. And it's really cool if you've ever used one. The process of actually stropping an auto strop blade, it's awesome. Now, the only thing is that the strops themselves are kind of getting old if you have one that's been kind of beat up. So I do recommend trying to have one made if you can, or taking a piece of like, you know, spare leather or something like that. If you want to do that, making your own hanging strop, it is possible. It's not too hard to do, but you want to use a thinner leather. But I'll be honest, I don't really use a stropping mechanism. I just kind of change my blades out, and I use a blade for two shaves and that's it anyway. So they are really fun to use. They're fun to collect. They're awesome pieces to see. And if you just like have people come over your house to visit, and they see an auto strop razor sitting in your bathroom next to your brush and soap, I guaranteed to get some conversation going. So don't be afraid of them. They are very easy to shave with. They're very mild. They're nice and fun. You can head shave with them and everything. But they're actually really well balanced too. A little bit on the top heavy side, but they're actually really nice. The handles are nice and solid. So Gillette did purchase the company because they were considered a major competitor. And obviously, if Gillette bought them out, they thought that they were, you know, something that would hurt their business, right? There was a lot of advertising in the 1920s, 1930s with this razor. And it was just really, there was actually several different places where they made them. I think they made them in England later on. And they also made them, of course, in the United States. And really, it's just, they're, like I said, they're just fun. Now, if you're looking for blades for these razors, you might say, if you have the valet blades, they come with it. Right, they're called valet blades. I said valet in the middle. There was two different versions. There was one that didn't have the valet in the middle, and there was one that did. What did it can be replaced with a new blade, which are the Feather FHS 10s. Those blades will fit perfectly in there, and they have the feather in the middle cut in the blade, so they fit perfectly and they work great. They actually work much better probably than the original ones. And also, those are the blades that if you have a one blade, those are the ones required for the one blade. They're a single edge blade without the collar on the end of it. And for the newer models of auto strop razors, you have to use those because they have the cutout in them. For the older ones, you can just take a single edge blade and take the top, you know, the collar off of it and just slide it right in. It'll work. But I like those feather blades anyway. So they're cheap enough. They're really solid. So after you've tried your auto strop razors, there's another type of single edge razor that we've mentioned many times in the past that are awesome, and I want to give them a little bit of a minute here of our time, is the modern style Artist Club razors. The Artist Club, or they call them the professional razors. There's several dozen of them out, and it started all with the Cobra Classic. Now, a Cobra Classic razor is an American razor that was built that took these Chevette or hair shaper blades, which are called professional blades. Now, they're like injector blades, right? The same concept as an injector blade, only they're a little bit bigger. They're about a little bit over an inch long, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches. No, I would say less than two, but it's a longer blade. They tend to be very sharp, and there's about four or five really known producers that do these blades as well. So the Cobra Classic, and now there's a different couple Cobra razors out there, came out, and these razors kind of had like a little mechanism. You slide them in and click it in, and they would take these blades, and are really, honestly, they're a bigger razor, they're heavier razor, and they shave very nicely. So they were really popular around 2013, 2012, I believe, when they first came out. The Cobras, they were selling out like crazy, and a lot of people, a lot of wet shavers were getting them. So a gentleman named Bruce Weber ended up purchasing one, loved it so much, he designed another razor that was called the Mongoose. The Mongoose is one of those three-piece razor using the same kind of concept, only a three-piece design like a classic Gillette. He made this razor, actually had it patented and everything, and made it out of stainless steel. He's made it out of aluminum. He's made limited editions, and it was really big in about 2014, 2015, 2016. These razors were all over the place. Everybody wanted one. The prices went through the roof. I think you can get a Mongoose for around $150 to $200 for stainless steel one, and they were going for like $700 online when they were selling them on eBay and just forums and stuff. So a little part about Bruce. I've met Bruce because Bruce is actually from Boca Raton, Florida, and I currently live in Delray Beach, Florida. So if you know Palm Beach County or if you know Florida in general, his office is about 5 miles from my house. So I was able to meet up with him, talk to him. We got to look at a bunch of Mongoose razors, and he actually gifted me a very nice one in the near future from that. So after we met each other, you know, he said, "Hey, I got something new. Wanted you to try," and gave me something very nice. And, you know, we've talked for over the years, but since he's been slowing down and running his other businesses. And actually, the aluminum Mongoose razors are actually made in Delray Beach, Florida, and a machinist here locally and very close to my home. And the stainless steel razors are actually made in Miami, Florida. So they're made, again, very close to where I live. So this is kind of like the local artisan where I am. And it really was cool to see that, you know, I was really into Mongoose razors and doing some work for Sharpologist when we were doing some articles. I looked them up and found out a lot of information about them. So it was really awesome. So yeah, Mongoose razors. And then after that, you had like a bunch of other companies come out. The Colonel razor came out. Razor Rock made their own edition of it. I think a couple other vendors as well came out with some really good quality ones. So this design was really big for about 4 or 5 years and then kind of dwindled down. So if you do have a Mongoose or you've tried one, I do recommend, if you have it in your collection, it's been collecting dust like mine was, to pick it up and start using it because they are really fun. Really great. They're great head shavers as well, and I've been using mine as well. I love my blue aluminum one that you can see in the picture on the show notes. So guys, tune in for the next show for part 3, where we talk about injector style razors, and we're going to also talk about the new one blade design and how that revolutionized rejuvenated the single edge razor blade. And last but not least, everyone, the Menlo Shaving Goods razor is another double-edged razor that's come out. That's an aggressive razor, actually. And the real story behind it is that Jeremy, the guy who formed the company, is actually a machinist who lost a little bit of work during the pandemic. Of course, a lot of people were in and out of work or had issues or had to take some time off. And created and actually said, you know what, I'm going to create something that I love, was in the wet shaving, and created a wet shaving company. So he started off with this one razor, which is called the Nylon. The Nylon is their first razor. It's actually a very aggressive razor, and it's made of 306 stainless steel. The wet shaving company that Jeremy owns is brand new. It's only been out for about 6 to 7 months. And he's done a few dozen razors already. I've seen some great reviews. A couple of the design, now, just as I mentioned prior to this podcast, this razor actually has a little bit of a different design. It's got more of a dipped head, a different angle, and also uses a scalloped base plate, which is top plate, which you've seen in a couple other vendors, as you know, people that do that as well, that have been, you know, Timeless does that that design as well. I think Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements has had some razors with that design. So he does a little bit of a different handle as well. And it's more of like a machine finish. I don't think they have a polished version yet. But the picture that you can see in the show notes is a good representation of them. So Jeremy, I want to wish you good luck because you have a really cool idea. Looking forward to eventually picking one of these razors up when they come back in stock. List price is around $250. So yeah, like we were talking about before, this is another big boy coming into the market. So we're looking forward to seeing some success from this razor. But also the design's a little different. I did like the actual design head of the razor itself. So looking forward to seeing that, maybe trying one out soon, because it is a different design. And Jeremy, wish you the best of luck from Menlo Shaving. All right, everyone, and that concludes the podcast for this week. Don't forget to check out my blog site, Shave Straight and Safe, for all of the tips and interesting wet shaving stories. And remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, Mantic59, for everything he does in the wet shaving community. And most of all, you guys, the listeners, because you guys keep the podcast going and keep wet shaving interesting. Our next show will be on the 15th of February. And until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.